Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the AI Hardware Show. I'm your host, Skylar Monroe. And if you're into chips, silicon, and the hardware that's actually making the AI revolution happen, you're in exactly the right place. Big thanks to our sponsors today. Limitless AI, helping businesses actually integrate AI into their real-world workflows, and Ago Consulting, pronounced Ago, your go-to for silicon development consulting. Today, we've got a packed show. South Korea is making a massive national bet on on-device AI chips. Amazon is getting bold and trying to sell its homegrown chips to the outside world. The edge AI chip market is about to absolutely explode. NVIDIA's inference dominance just got even more dominant, and a startup called TensorDyne is making some genuinely wild claims about outperforming Blackwell. Let's get into it. All right, kicking things off? South Korea just announced an $800.2 billion initiative to accelerate on-device AI chip development across multiple industries. And before you ask, yeah, 800.2 billion won translates to roughly $600 million, which is a serious chunk of change for a nationally coordinated chip program. So what exactly is this K-on-device initiative, and why does it matter? On-device AI is exactly what it sounds like. Instead of sending your data up to a cloud server, doing the AI computation there, and getting the answer back, the chip on your actual device, your phone, your car, your smart appliance, handles the inference locally. No round trip to the cloud, no latency hit, no privacy concerns about your data leaving the device. It's a fundamentally different architectural philosophy, and it's gaining serious momentum. Now, South Korea has some enormous strategic reasons to care about this. Samsung and SK Hynix are two of the most important semiconductor companies on the planet. Korea already has deep manufacturing and memory expertise, but where they've historically been a little softer is in the custom logic chip space, the actual AI accelerator silicon itself. This initiative is designed to close that gap. The program targets multiple industries: consumer electronics, automotive, industrial, healthcare, which tells you this isn't just about slapping an AI chip into a smartphone. This is about building a broad ecosystem. Think about what that means for a car that can do real-time driver assistance without ever pinging a data center, or a medical device that can analyze sensor data on the spot without your health information traveling anywhere. The use cases are genuinely compelling. What I find interesting about the framing here is the word K on device, the K being a clear reference to Korea in the same spirit as K-pop or K-drama. It's a branding move, but it also signals national pride and long-term commitment. This isn't a one-year research grant. This feels like the beginning of a sustained push. And when a government with Korea's semiconductor pedigree decides to go all in on something, the industry pays attention. This is definitely a story worth watching over the next few years. Okay, story two, and this one is big. Amazon is reportedly planning to sell its self-developed AI chips to external data centers. Not just use them internally for AWS, but actually go out and compete in the merchant chip market. And the market liked it. Shares jumped over 2% on the news. So let's break down what Amazon has actually built and what this move really means. Amazon has been developing its own silicon for years now under the Annapurna Labs umbrella, which they acquired back in 2015. The two chips that are most relevant here are Trainium, which is designed for training AI models, and Inferentia, which handles inference, basically running a model after it's been trained. These chips are already available to AWS customers, so Amazon has been in the chip business for a while. But using your own chips internally and actually selling them to other data centers are very different propositions. When we say selling to external data centers, we're talking about Amazon becoming a merchant silicon vendor, meaning they're competing directly in the same market as NVIDIA, AMD, and Intel. That is a massive strategic shift. Think of it like a restaurant that's been making its own hot sauce for the kitchen, suddenly deciding to bottle it and put it on grocery store shelves. Same product, completely different business model and competitive landscape. Now, why would external data centers even consider Amazon's chips over NVIDIA? A few reasons. First, cost. NVIDIA's H100s and B200s are extraordinarily expensive. We're talking $30,000 to $40,000 per GPU or more at various points. If Amazon can offer competitive performance at a lower price point, hyperscalers and mid-sized cloud providers will absolutely take that call. Second, supply. NVIDIA chips have had chronic supply constraints. Diversification is attractive when you can't always get what you need when you need it. The CUDA software ecosystem is NVIDIA's real moat, though I want to be clear about that. Decades of developer tooling, libraries, and optimized frameworks are baked around CUDA. Amazon would need to offer compelling software support alongside the hardware to really pull customers. But here's the thing. If Amazon is serious about this, they have the engineering resources and the cloud platform to build that out. This is a story about long-term competitive pressure on NVIDIA. And honestly, more competition in this space is good for everyone. Story 3, the edge AI chip market. A new market report is projecting that the edge AI chip market will surpass $291.8 billion by 2033. That's not a typo, $291.8 billion. With a B, that is an enormous number, and it reflects just how fundamentally the compute landscape is shifting away from centralized cloud infrastructure. So let's back up and make sure we're all on the same page about what edge AI means. The edge in computing refers to devices that are physically close to where data is being generated, as opposed to a data center that might be hundreds or thousands of miles away. Your smartphone is an edge device. A security camera with onboard processing is an edge device. A factory sensor, a drone, an autonomous vehicle, all edge devices. Edge AI means those devices are doing real AI inference work locally. The drivers behind this market are pretty intuitive once you think about them. Latency is huge. If you're an autonomous vehicle making a split-second decision, you literally cannot wait 50 milliseconds for a cloud round trip. Privacy is another driver. Enterprises and consumers are increasingly uncomfortable with sensitive data leaving their premises. And bandwidth costs, streaming raw sensor data to the cloud at scale, is genuinely expensive. Processing it locally and only sending the relevant results is just more efficient. What's making this market explode right now is the convergence of a few things. First, chip architectures have gotten dramatically more efficient. Companies like Apple with their Neural Engine, Qualcomm with their Hexagon DSP, and a whole ecosystem of specialized startups have figured out how to pack serious AI compute into tiny, low-power packages. Second, the models themselves are getting more efficient. Techniques like quantization and pruning mean you can run surprisingly capable models on constrained hardware. Third, demand is just skyrocketing across every vertical you can think of. $291.8 billion by 2033 is a bold projection, and I'd always encourage you to look at these market research numbers with some healthy skepticism. Projections can vary wildly depending on methodology. But even if the real number ends up being half that, we're still talking about one of the most significant chip market opportunities of the decade. The companies that nail the performance per watt equation for edge inference are going to be printing money. This is a space I'm watching very closely. All right. Story 4, and this one is about the company that basically lives rent-free in every competitor's head. NVIDIA's market share in AI inference chips has risen to 74%. 74% of the fastest-growing segment of the AI semiconductor market. Let me put that in perspective for you. Inference, for those newer to the space, is the process of actually running a trained AI model to produce outputs. So when you type a prompt into ChatGPT and get a response, that's inference. Training is what happens before that, the computationally intensive process of actually building the model. Historically, NVIDIA dominated training, but inference was seen as more price sensitive and potentially more contested. The narrative was that training requires massive brute force compute, where NVIDIA's GPU is shine. But inference could be done more efficiently on specialized, cheaper hardware. That narrative is not playing out the way critics of NVIDIA hoped. 74% share in inference is remarkable. It tells you a few things. First, the software moat is real. When your team already knows CUDA, when your entire MLOPS stack is optimized around NVIDIA hardware, switching to an alternative inference chip isn't just a hardware swap, it's a workflow overhaul. Companies are rational and the switching cost is genuinely high. Second, NVIDIA has been aggressively optimizing its hardware and software for inference use cases. The H100 and now Blackwell architecture are not just training monsters. They've been tuned for inference efficiency as well. The competitors aren't standing still, though. AMD's MI300X has been gaining some real traction. Google's TPUs handle a massive amount of inference internally. Amazon's Inferentia, which we just talked about, is in the mix. And there's a long tail of startups taking shots. But 74% is an extraordinary number to overcome. It would require not just better hardware, but a genuine software ecosystem shift, and those take years.
What's also interesting here is what this means for NVIDIA's valuation story. The bull case for NVIDIA has always been that AI compute demand is essentially insatiable, and they're the default pick.
A 70% inference share number is direct evidence supporting that thesis. The bear case is valuation and competition. But when you see numbers like this coming out of actual market data, it's hard to argue NVIDIA is going anywhere fast. This company continues to execute at a level that frankly is just impressive from a pure silicon and software strategy standpoint. And now, okay, I have been looking forward to talking about this one. Story 5. A startup called Tensordyne has unveiled something called the Napier chip, built on a 3-nanometer process, and they are claiming 13 times higher token throughput than NVIDIA's Blackwell architecture, and over 1,000 tokens per second on multi-trillion parameter models. If those numbers are real, this is one of the most significant chip announcements I've seen in a long time. And that's a big if. Let's talk about what token throughput actually means, because this is the key metric for large language model inference. A token is roughly a word or a piece of a word. When you're chatting with an AI assistant, the speed at which text appears on your screen is determined by token throughput, how many tokens the system can generate per second. For context, a smooth, responsive experience for a single user is somewhere around 30 to 50 tokens per second. But when you're serving millions of users or running batch workloads on massive models, you want to push that number as high as possible. 1,000 tokens per second on a multi-trillion parameter model would be genuinely extraordinary. For comparison, NVIDIA's Blackwell B200 is an absolutely monster chip. It's built on TSMC's 4-nanometer node, it has a huge amount of HBM3E memory, and it's designed to be the state-of-the-art for exactly this kind of workload. Claiming 13x better throughput than Blackwell is not a small claim. That's not saying we're competitive or we're a good value. That's saying we are in a completely different performance tier. Those kinds of claims require extraordinary evidence. Now, I want to be fair to TensorDyne here. There are legitimate architectural innovations that could drive large performance differences. Things like novel memory subsystem designs, different approaches to attention computation, highly specialized data flow architectures that are purpose-built for transformer models. A startup starting from a clean sheet of paper without legacy constraints can sometimes find efficiencies that an established player can't. We've seen this before. Cerebras did something genuinely different with wafer-scale computing. Grok did something genuinely different with their tensor streaming processor. So it's not impossible, but here's my honest take. The history of chip startups making massive benchmark claims before silicon chips is long and complicated. We've seen many companies promise revolutionary performance, and then when the actual chips show up in real-world data center conditions, accounting for software stack maturity, memory bandwidth bottlenecks, thermal limits, and all the messy realities of production deployment, the numbers look different. WCCF Tech, who broke this story, is a solid outlet, but this is based on TensorDyne's own claims and projections. I'd want to see independent benchmarks on production silicon before updating my priors dramatically. That said, watch this company. If even a fraction of what they're claiming holds up, TensorDyne is going to attract serious investment and serious attention. And frankly, the industry needs credible competition for NVIDIA at the high end. We should all be rooting for companies that are genuinely trying to push the frontier. I'll be following up on this one closely, and if they start publishing third-party benchmark results, we will absolutely cover it here. And that wraps up today's episode of the AI Hardware Show. We covered South Korea's massive national bet on on-device AI silicon, Amazon's bold move into the merchant chip market, the edge AI chip opportunity that could hit nearly $300 billion by 2033, NVIDIA's iron grip on 74% of the inference market, and TensorDyne's eye-opening, if still unverified, Napier chip claims. This is such a fascinating time to be paying attention to silicon. The hardware layer is where everything actually happens, and it is moving fast. The AI Hardware Show brought to you by Limitless AI and Ago Consulting. If you got value out of today's episode, please subscribe wherever you listen, leave a review, and share it with someone who geeks out on this stuff as much as we do. All the links and details for today's stories are in the show notes. Check the link in show notes, and we'll see you next time.